Stewie Clark, morning to you.
Morning, mate. Morning, boys.
What are your memories of playing at the Wacka, Stewie?
Oh, it was great fun, mate. As Clark said, it's just it's such a unique place to play. There's nowhere else in the world like it. You turn up, look at this wicket. It's got different sort of soil. It flies through. As a bowler, you feel like you're bowling about 7 yards quicker. As a batter, you think, Jesus, this one's going to hit me in the throat off a good length. But just a great place to play.
And the nets there are the hardest place to bat. They're the worst place to bat in the world. Every single fast bowler. Look, even that's when you see the batters become fast bowlers. They grab a brand new ball out of the bag and try and rip your head off at the Wacka nets, and they feel 140 Ks.
Mate, horrible place to bat. Like, you just turn up, and you're right, all the bowlers be off their long run. They don't bowl all year. The only place they would bowl is at the Wacka, and, mate, no point pitching it up since you can hit everyone else.
Mate, the coach is bowling, the physio's bowling, everyone gets the ball out. No one wants to bat. The bloke's lining up to bowl.
If they could go back there and play games there, the players would love it.
Yeah.
But we all know that the commerciality of sport. And look, up the stadium, it's a great stadium, massive stadium. The wicket there is really quick and bouncy as well. It flies through, but there's just something nice about the history of the Wacka, Lillian Marsh there, and all the bits and pieces, the Fremantle Dock that blows through in the afternoon. It was a great place to play. And I don't know if the guys like playing shield cricket there, but when the Australians play and you're getting a big crowd, I don't think they'll be playing there, unfortunately.
What are you expecting, buddy, this series? What can we hope from the West Indies, I guess?
Well, they did better than I expected in the Prime Minister's 11.
Okay.
They batted better. They've got some guys that can actually bowl a bit quick. Azari Joseph bowls quite quickly. Jaden Seals bowls quite quickly. They're not the finished product yet. They're still works in progress, but they've got a little bit of pace. But their batting, Brathwaite can hold up an end. Chanderpaul bats like so much like his father, it's almost uncanny the way he plays.
Will he make their 11? Will he be in their Test 11?
Well, he got 100 in the tour match, and he got 50 odd in the second inning. So he can only do as much. I'd be surprised if he wasn't. Some of the guys that batted in the middle, he looked like he had far more time and a lot more, I suppose, ability than him. But look, he's young, and they may give it some more experience. But the biggest challenge is going to be the wicket going from Manuka, where they played their trial game. The ball doesn't really bounce and carry through to a wicket that's going to fly through, and you've got three of the best test quicks in the world up against you. It'll be a big challenge.
Any concerns, Stewie, that the Aussies could be booed in Perth over the Justin Langer saga?
Yeah, look, that whole thing's bubbling along in the background. It's bubbled along in the background. They're very parochial over there in the West. They love their Western Australians, and Alfie was one of those guys they loved. I'd hope not, man. I'd be disappointed if the crowd turned up. And, the Australians, they love playing all around the country. And when you play around the country, you don't even expect to be, I suppose, booed by your home fans. You go overseas, that's just par for the course, mate. That just happens and you get used to it. But I'd be disappointed if they did.
We're all expecting Australia to win these tests against the West Indies, Stewie, and then come up against a more competitive South Africa. But in your mind, which of the players in the Australian side are under pressure to keep their spots?
Well, look, I think the question mark will be probably who's going to bat in the middle order. Trevor said he's done really well in the one days. His name sort of comes up, but he's done well. So I think the Australians, they're sort of going in with, we'll just go through these guys, we'll knock over the West Indies. I think at the moment, no one's really under pressure. Now, after one test, someone will fail. That's just what happens. Someone will miss out. Someone won't get runs. Someone won't get wickets. And the media and the public will sort of start questioning that person's spot. But at the moment, you look around that team, the three quicks, no one's really going to question that. You wouldn't have thought Mitchell Starc's name will come up. Everybody does. Is he swinging a new ball? And is he getting enough wickets? And is he bowling well enough? Someone in the middle order, someone will fail at the top of the order. The questions will start getting asked. But at the moment, I think they're all pretty safe, and I wouldn't be sort of expecting too much of that at the moment.
Stewie, take me through New South Wales cricket situation at the moment. They're underperforming. There's been a lot of talk about Phil Jakes' job and him being under the pump. But, mate, I actually feel there's a huge concern here. Like, we've always produced a number of Australian players. We've always wanted to be at the top of the tree in any format that New South Wales is playing in. Is this bigger than just New South Wales cricket? Is our grade cricket standards dropping? Is our junior cricket standards dropping? What are the major issues here?
Well, you're right. I don't think it's just Phil Jakes' fault. You know, you can then say the coach, they're not winning. But I think it's all of what you said. I think this, just looking around at grade cricket, man, having a little bit to do with Sunderland Cricket Club, the standard of grade cricket is, you know, going south. I think it's probably the simplest way. I look at the pathway system, and everyone talks about this pathways. You've got to be in the pathways. Yeah, there's always going to be, you know, guys that come through, but they don't play enough hardened first-class cricket. Or, sorry, hardened... grade cricket. They play these, you know, these knock-around games, you know, amongst age group cricket and things like, which is all great and really important. But that takes precedence over playing grade cricket. If it was me, I'd be making everyone play more grade cricket and hardened grade cricket. I think we also get caught up in this T20 cricket. They play way too much T20 cricket at a grade level. Like, there's a game on this Thursday, T20 cricket in first grade. Now, I don't know who came up with the idea, and it's probably not, they don't want to play Sunday cricket, but guys playing grade cricket are not, they enjoy playing, don't get me wrong, but they just don't have the skills of what you see on the big bash. Mm. And it's difficult, but the whole system, top to bottom, needs to be looked at and just go back to what used to work. We've gone down this new age sort of way of doing things, and I'm telling you, we're not producing the cricket as we used to, especially in the bowling department. They're okay, don't get me wrong, but I'm disappointed that it's just Phil Jakes' fault. The whole cricket system, top to bottom, those that are making decisions, those that are running it and then implementing decisions.
Can I ask, Dewey, what do the other states do? Are they a lot different to our pathway system? Or has everyone got the same pathway system? Only because, is this sort of the way of the future?
Well, I think that's got a little bit to do with it. Look, all states are slightly different. Queensland seems to have a good model at the moment. Western Australia have got a really good... They're producing cricketers and lots of them. They're so successful in domestic cricket. And they've got guys pushing for higher honours. But there used to be... There's peaks and troughs. There'd be good players and then states. The problem New South Wales is always facing is we're the biggest state, got the most amount of players. And yes, our players get picked off and go around and have to play and get picked off into other states. So that weakens New South Wales. But because we were so big, we had enough players to cover that. We're not producing those players anymore, which in turn will weaken all the other states because, look, South Australia, Tasmania, they've got so many New South Wales guys playing in there. Yeah. Their systems, you know, they've got good coaches, but their systems are slightly different because they don't have the ground-up players coming through. The other thing Queensland do, they've got some really good coaches involved at the moment. Andy Bickle's doing a great job. You know, Martin Love is one of the world's great batters. He's a physio, and I still was talking to Darren Lehman. Talks to the batters. Darren Lehman's involved with the Brisbane Heat. New South Wales, they've got some good coaches. Phil Jakes, great guy, but I don't know if they've got guys of that ilk running around coaching anymore.
What about this point system, Stewie, in regards to Shield cricket? Like, you go back... you know, years ago, and everyone around the world was saying Australia's first-class system is the best in the world, and that's why, you know, they're the number one cricket team in the world. Should we be going back? Should we actually be looking at what's worked in the past and, you know, using that to our advantage rather than, like, with Shield cricket, let's just go back to first-inning points and then maximum points for outright victories and get rid of all this other fluff.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's nice. It's like county cricket when you go over and play over there. You get, you know, you score enough runs.
Mate, you're confused. You're confused how you win, how you make the final.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. And they tried to change, you know, so it's more attacking and more competitive. It wasn't broken. I don't know why we changed it. You're right. Sometimes people and, you know, strategists will come up with these great views. This will make the game better. They've never actually played the game, so they don't actually know what actually works and doesn't work. It all looks great on a bit of paper, and this will help. But at the moment, the results, I don't actually believe that the state system in Australia is the strongest state system, the strongest domestic system anymore. You can go over to India, you can go over to England. Our system is great. It works. Everyone gets a go. But it's almost like it's a participation system. And that sounds silly, but you know, a lot of players that are playing that deserve to be there,
And then there are guys that just turn up and play because they're in the pathways. And that's not what Shield cricket used to be about. You have to earn the right to play Shield cricket, and you have to earn the right to be successful.
Well, Stewie, you spoke about you can, you know, go to India and play and the Ashes and stuff like that. But next year, it's a big 12 months of cricket coming up for everyone. And young Cameron Green is faced with the prospect of, you know, playing in the IPL, four tests against India, Ashes, 50 over World Cup. And you'd think that he'll be involved in all those tours. What advice would you give him about potentially missing the IPL, or would you encourage him to go and play with the IPL with all this cricket coming up?
That's going to be the biggest challenge he faces, because you're right, he'll be in every team. He'd be in every team that I had if I was picking the team. I'd be talking to him seriously about the IPL. He'll get a serious amount of money to go over there and play. Like, you know, I'm talking probably $2-2.5 million. He bats, he bowls, he fields. He's a good young prospect. I'd be talking to him about it and seeing where he stood. I think the system with the IPL, and I think the guys, and it's not just Cameron Green, but they've got, someone has to make a decision tonight. Do you want to play for Australia? Can you do both? What series? I'd be actually sitting down now with him and planning out what his 12 months looks like and talking to him seriously, because physically and mentally, he won't be able to cope with all that. No one's been able to do it. The Indian players don't do it. They'll miss series here, there and everywhere. My advice to him would be that. Sit down with the officials at Cricket Australia, the coaches, and talk to them about how they see the season unfolding. Talk to them about the IPL.
You know what they're going to say, though, Stewie? You know what Cricket Australia's ideal dream is? They don't want him to go, but they're not going to pull him out, and they're not going to reimburse him. They're not going to say, rightio, you're going to get $2.5 million at the IPL, so we will give you an extra $1 million for you not to go. And they're certainly not going to say ring up India and say, you know what, you can't have Cameron Green, he's not going in the auction. They're not going to try and pee them off.
I reckon the way the world, and the way the cricket system, if you sat down and spoke to him and say, look, I want to go, and I agree with you, they'll say, look, we don't want you to go. That's the first thing. No, we want you to play for Australia.
100%.
But the reality of it is, when Cameron Green gets offered $2.5 million, he'll sit there and go, well, I want to go. Back. So, yeah, it's hard to knock
the
back.
The only negotiation Cricket Australia has is they could offer him an extra year deal. So let's say his new contract with Cricket Australia is a 2-year deal. They could say, look, we'll guarantee you a 3-year deal to give you more security. That's the only power play they have, because they can't pay him that money that he's going to get for the IPL.
No, absolutely. They can sit down there, and I think that's what I was saying to Cameron, but rather than having become a big storm, which it will potentially do, don't get me wrong, sit down and go, right, I want to go, so there might be a tour or a series, a one-day series, I'm not going to go to that one.
Yeah,
and that's
okay.
Not the way I would be. That's not the way I was brought up. Playing for your country was the pinnacle of what you did. But if you sit down and go, look at Virat Kohli, like he didn't play this one-day series in New Zealand. And I know he has a lot of pulling power, and he's done a lot in cricket, so maybe he earns that right. But I think we all look at Cameron Green and we go, this guy, he is so important to the Australian cricket team. Play the marquee series, play this series, but you know, if you want to go to the IPL, all right, well, we can't stop you because of the monetary side of things, but you know, we'll take you out of this series, or we will let you have a rest there. Just try and map out at least a blueprint of how that's going to work. Now, it mightn't eventuate. You might get injured somewhere through it and then might have to miss a series anyway, and then you reassess. But I think get on the front foot with that if I was Cameron Green. Don't let that fester in the background, because you'll have to make a choice. And it's such a hard choice because, yes, you do want to play for your country, but if he's getting $2.5 million to play in the IPL, which he could do for the next 10 to 15 years, hard to say no to.
While we're solving life's problems, Stewie, yesterday we had Sport New South Wales Chair Chris Hall on in regards to this report about, well, funding and facilities issues in New South Wales community sport in particular, and you're part of this campaign. I mean, what do you expect to happen and come of it?
Look, I think, Chris, we were talking about this, that community sport is such a, you know, brings communities together. It's where we all started playing our sport. There hasn't been a material funding increase since the 2000 Olympics from the state government. And look, I accept there's lots of other issues, you know, hospitals and schools and, you know, all the rest of it, and I totally understand that. But community sport, it brings people together. It's what, you know, a lot of people do on the weekend. You know, your kids, they turn up, they all go out, and then, you know, the local area, it's good for young kids. It's healthy, active lifestyles. And we're and all the sports, often included, you know, we're all struggling financially with the way participation numbers are falling, whether facilities are adequate. There's a study done by, I think it's ActiveX, that we could double the facilities by four. Like we could four times the amount of facilities we've got at the moment and still only just have enough. So what do we do when more kids want to play, but we can't actually provide it for them? What do sporting organisations do when they can't actually fund the operations of their sporting organisations without a little bit more assistance from the government? Inflation's going up at a massive amount, a massive rate, 7, 8%, but we're still getting the same amount of funding as we did from, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah, never underestimate the role sport plays in particularly young people's lives. But we appreciate your time, Stewie, and enjoy the cricket.
Look forward to it, boys. Are you flying over there, Pupster?
No.
Anything to add?
I'll be watching some of it on television.
Mate, it'll be a bouncy quick wicket, so it'll be entertaining to watch.
Well, don't miss the first day or the first 2 days because you might miss the test match.
Good on you, boy. Have
See
a good
you,
day.
Buddy.